All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to welcome each one here, and a special welcome to all the visitors that are with us here this morning. See different visitors here. We're so glad you're here, and hope you receive a blessing for worshiping with us this morning. Think about the most joyful person that you know. Someone whose countenance radiates contentment and excitement for life. Someone who is overflowing with praise to God and love for others. Someone whose presence you leave feeling inspired and refreshed. How many of you are thinking of someone? All right. How many of you want to be more like that person that you just thought about? Okay, that's me. That's where I'm coming from with this message. I've been on a quest recently to figure out what makes those people tick. Those people that are walking around radiating joy, how did they get that? What makes them, how can they have that? Even through hard times, often probably good chance the person you thought about is someone that's been through some hard things, right? They've been through tough times, but still they're walking around joyful and just a blessing to be around. Okay, so I've been, like I said, on a quest. I've been interviewing people. I've been studying God's Word. I've been just trying to practice things in my own life and trying to discover what brings us joy. How can we as humans have more joy? And I'm super excited to share what I've been finding with you. And I hope you'll be inspired to more joy in your life. I'm going to start by discussing some of the theology about joy, or a little bit of philosophy maybe behind joy. And then I'm going to get super practical and just give you some of those things that I found that can help you have more joy in your life. So just for a bit of a, to get us started here, imagine now somebody that's the opposite of the person that you were thinking about, that person that's radiating joy. Imagine someone that's the opposite now. So imagine with me a man named Joe. Joe lives on the streets, and he's addicted to drugs and alcohol. He doesn't really have any friends, but he spends a lot of time on TikTok and Facebook. He's big into conspiracy theories. He's paranoid of the government. If you happen to meet him, you'd no doubt hear him complain about how his ex-wife wasted all his money. The dog in the neighboring tent keeps him awake at night. Somebody came by and stole his shopping cart yesterday. He might tell you also of his repeated failed attempts to end his life of misery. So think about that for a moment. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. If Joe wants joy, where can he find it? Any answers?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. It's pretty obvious that Joe needs Jesus, right? If he's going to find joy in his life, it sounds like he's a long way from joy. If he wants joy in his life, he needs Jesus. It's pretty obvious. Let me tell you a story about... This is a true story now. Joe was imaginary, although there are many people probably similar to that. This is about a woman named Christina Bear. Christina Bear, her husband is Sam Bear, and Sam Bear grew up in a Mennonite family, grew up in a Mennonite church. But he became disillusioned, whatever, left the Mennonite church, and went out into the world, and he ends up marrying this lady named Christina. And Christina, when she was growing up, she was just on a search for joy. And one day, her grandmother asked her, "What do you want for Christmas?" And her response was, "I just want to be happy. That's all I want. I just want to be happy." She had this hole in her heart, this hole in her life that she was trying to fill. And she tried to fill it different ways. She thought, I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I have children. Maybe I'll be happy when we're wealthy and have lots of money. But none of those things brought her happiness. She tried meditation. She tried doing yoga. And she even had a tattoo on her wrist or somewhere to remind her to be strong. But she still wasn't happy. So one day, Christina and her husband, they decided to go to church. Maybe they'd find some friends at church and whatever. So they decided to go to church. And I think it was about the second time they attended that church. A lady was talking about something. Anyway, after the talk, the pastor got up and he prayed for joy. He was praying about joy. And Sam looks over at his wife, Christina, and there's just tears streaming down her face. And he's like, what in the world? Christina's very, you know, she's not a very emotional person. Why is she there with tears running down her face in church? So after they got home and, you know, had lunch or whatever, and he asked her, what was going on in church? Like, why were you crying? And she said, my whole life, all I wanted was joy. I just wanted joy. And today the pastor prayed for joy. And she's like, I've been depressed all my life, you know, trying to fill this hole in my life. And I just want to have joy. And Sam's sitting there thinking, and he's saying, and he says, I think I know where you can find it. He grew up with the truth and said, I think I know where you can find it. So they got down, they prayed together, and that day they decided to follow Jesus. And she said that there were tears streaming down their faces, they were laughing, they were crying, they were jumping around the dining room, they were so happy. And from that time on, their lives were completely changed. They were headed a completely different direction. They were following Jesus and finding joy in following Jesus and joy in his word, and as they based their lives on his word. I think it's a great story to show the source of joy. Our source of joy, if you want joy, simple answer is one word, Jesus. Jesus is the answer if you're looking for joy. All right, getting a little bit deeper. I think I found some really exciting stuff when I was studying this, and it really brings clarity, at least in my mind, of where joy comes from and some different things about it. First of all, God made us, and he made us after he created humans. He said we're made very good. Obviously, God put in us this desire to have joy. That's the way God made us. And, yeah, he created us with a longing for joy. Turn with me to Isaiah 55, or you can turn there if you want. I'm going to read it out of the New Living, because I love how it some of the wording in here. Isaiah 55. In one of my Bibles, one of the translations, the heading for this chapter was something like something about an invitation to an abundant life, which I think is kind of synonymous with joy. If you're filled with joy, I think you're going to have an abundant life. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. This is Isaiah 55. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine and milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used to display my power among the people? I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will be come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. I'm going to jump down toward the bottom here. Verse 12. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. All right, just a picture of God inviting people to joy, to an abundant life in him. So, God wants us to be joyful because that is when we bring him the most glory. You think about it. I was listening some to John Piper, and he was talking some about this. When we are joyful, when we're full of life and joy for God, that's when he gets the most glory from our lives. I have a little illustration. How many of you know what a tube man is? How about a sky dancer? Inflatable tube man, sky dancer. How many of you know now what a tube man is? Okay. So these are the guys that you might see waving outside of a used car dealership or something. And often used nowadays as an advertising, or to get people's attention. They'll be out waving along the road to get people's attention. I heard they were developed, I think, in 1996 and used at the Olympic Games, 1996. Since then, they've been made a lot. They've been used a lot for advertisement. I've heard that farmers can even use them as scarecrows to chase off birds. But when they're at a car dealership, they're supposed to be doing the opposite. They're supposed to be getting people's attention so they stop in. Okay, so there's our tube man. Think about what that tube man's purpose is. Let's go down the advertising route. That guy's purpose is to be out there waving his arms, getting people's attention, attract them to come buy a used car. Okay, think about the manufacturer of that guy. And how happy do you think the manufacturer would be or the customer if that guy would just be lying flat on the ground, not moving his arms? How happy do you think the manufacturer would be? Probably not very pleased in his little creation there, would he? That guy looks pretty joyful, I would say, right now. And when he's joyful, when he's waving his arms, he is bringing his manufacturer glory. That's exactly what he was designed to do. That's what he's supposed to do. And here's a quote from John Piper. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. Read that again. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. And this was something that was so exciting to me. Because if you ever heard of a win-win situation, this is it. The happier I am, which I like to be joyful, right? And when I'm joyful, that's when God gets the most glory. When his children are walking around, they're full of life, they're living the way he designed them to live, and he's getting glory from our lives. It's a win-win. All right, another point here. Deep and lasting joy is found only in God. Verses 2 and 3 that we read from Isaiah 55. Why do you spend your money on things that don't give strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? So on and so forth. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listening, you will find life. So why would you search for life or joy anywhere other than God? Why would you spend your life seeking things that don't satisfy, things that don't actually bring you real joy? I'll tell you right now, you'll never find it unless you go to Jesus. You go to God to find that real lasting joy, eternal joy. Okay? Think of that, our guy up here again. What would happen, by the way, these work because there's a fan down here, and you just hook this guy up to the fan's blowing up, and the air is blowing up through the tube, and obviously there's somewhere for the air to get out, probably in this guy, it's through his arms there. But what would happen if we just took that tube man and we just took him off the fan and set him beside the fan? How well do you think he'd work? Probably wouldn't really work at all, would he? Maybe if you had some wind blowing and could kind of support him, he might, you know, kind of keep him up for a bit, but he would soon be down once the wind stopped blowing. It's an illustration of how we are. If we want to have joy, lasting joy, it's only going to come through having God's life in us. That's the only way that we're going to have true joy in our lives. Trying to have it otherwise is like trying to have that guy up and flapping without the fan under him. And when we are connected to that fan, true joy in God overflows in praise to God and love for others. The other night I was preparing for this, and I don't know if you can tell, but I got really excited. I'm really excited about joy. I've just been really excited studying this. And I was just in the shower, singing away, was so happy. And I was just thinking about, I think that's when you're truly joyful, it's going to overflow in praise to God and love for others. All right, here's my third point. This would probably be surprising to some people, but the path to joy is in obeying God's commandments. Think about it a bit. God created us, so he knows what makes us tick and what will bring us joy. The key to an abundant life is obedience to God's commands. Now, that sounds backwards from what the world might think. Joy is in being restricted to this set of rules? Like, how does that work? But let's think about it a little bit. Let's take the example of marriage. Think about it for a second. What is the key to a great marriage? I won't make you answer that, but think about it a little bit. What is the key to a great marriage? A marriage that is where the husband and wife just are so happy together. What's the key? Well, think about it for a bit. God created men with a deep need to be respected and supported. That's what we as men want. We want to be respected. We want people to look up to us. We want to be supported. And God created women with a deep need to be loved and cherished. They want connection. They want someone that, you know, just loves them and cherishes them. So that's how God made us. Then God was kind enough to tell us in Ephesians 5:33 that husbands should love their wives and wives should respect their husbands. Okay? So as long as we obey that command of God, as long as we obey the commands given in God's word about marriage, we will have a great marriage. Pretty simple. If the husband is just loving and cherishing his wife, like God said, the wife is supporting and respecting her husband, that is the recipe for a great marriage. Think about what happens when people don't follow God's commands about marriage. They probably have a miserable marriage. All kinds of disasters can happen when people are just in it for themselves or in the marriage for what they can get out of it, living selfishly. They're probably going to have a miserable marriage. But the key to a happy marriage is simply obeying God's, what he said about marriage. So the key to an abundant life is obedience to God's commands. Because why wouldn't he? If he's a good God, of course he's going to give us the commands that are going to lead us to that abundant life. Another thing that helped me think about this a little bit, I'm going to start drawing some stuff on the board. Jesus said, I'll get your help here. Three things. I am the what, the what, and the what. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so I'm writing here, Jesus, the source of joy, and underneath I'm going to write the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so Jesus gives us everything that we need to have joy. He's come, he's shown us, he's given us commands, he's shown us the way to have joy. He's given us the truth about God, the truth about ourselves, and he gives us his life through the Holy Spirit. And we'll be reading from John in a little bit later. I really believe that source of joy is the Spirit in us. We're filled with God, we're filled with his Spirit. That is when we're going to have joy. So through Jesus, we have life in him, the truth about him, and we have his commandments, the way to guide us. So if you want to have joy, what should we do with his? We should obey his commands. Let me write this up here. Obey Jesus. Believe the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And here I'm going to write, abide in Jesus. And his life will, his Holy Spirit will abide in you. True joy is found in Jesus by obeying his commandments, knowing his truth, and being filled with his Spirit. Now, the problem here, if this is all we had, well, that's pretty obvious. Just, okay, go, obey Jesus, abide in Jesus, let his life fill you. But the problem is there's not just Jesus and good influence out there. We have someone called the devil and the powers of darkness. And if you read about Satan or the devil in the Bible, what is he described as? He's called the father of lies. He's the deceiver. He's the accuser of the brethren. His job or his tactic is to deceive people. And so the devil, he's going to come and attack in any way he can because he does not want us to find this. He does not want us to find joy in Jesus. He is the absolute, he is absolutely against us having joy in Jesus. And so he's going to try to deceive us. So if he can get us to think that, you know what? If you want to be joyful, if you want to be happy, you're going to have to do it in breaking God's commands. He's going to say that, you need this and this and this, these things that are against God's commands. You won't be happy until you have those things. Or he might just try to get us to set our sights on earthly things. You know, if you have enough money, you'll have joy. If you, maybe once you're married, you can have joy. Or once, if you could only have a new car, you'd be happy. Or, just these earthly things, if Satan can get us to get our attention on those and think we're going to have find joy in those, and then especially if he can get us to sin in seeking for earthly joy, well, as soon as we sin, it's like taking this guy and taking him off the fan. Sin cuts our connection with God, and we're not going to have God's life flowing through us if we're not obeying his commands and if we're sinning instead. So the devil is going to try to attack that, and be aware of that. He's going to try to deceive you and think that you can find joy somewhere else. Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis, just slightly edited, a quote from C.S. Lewis. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. Maybe I should preface this with, If we seek joy in earthly things instead of in Christ, if the devil deceives us, we can find joy down here, earthly things, instead of in Christ, we have our sights set way too low. Okay? Our sights are set way too low. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sensual pleasures and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased, says C.S. Lewis. So don't set your sights. Don't think you can find joy or go about trying to find joy in these earthly things. Your sights are set way too low. You need to be focusing on God and focusing on, I can have eternal joy. I can have joy that lasts through any situation that comes along. So, in conclusion, to have joy, believe the truth, obey Jesus, and let the Holy Spirit fill you with life. I believe that's the key. Believe the truth, obey Jesus, let the Holy Spirit fill you with life. I have a song to read to you. I just love the words of this song, and this wraps it up quite nicely. It's called Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Having a change in my behavior, happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation. Having a part in His salvation, happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if teardrops start. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living. Taking a trip that leads to heaven, happiness is the Lord. All right. Now for those of you that like practical stuff instead of theology, we're going to get super duper practical and go over some practical things to have more joy in your life. I'm going to draw another picture on the board that has helped me to think about joy and how to have more joy. I like to organize things and make them make sense to me, so hopefully it's helpful for you too. How many of you know what a mixer board is? Okay, probably somewhat of one in the back there. You have a mixer board. You have like a soundboard. You have your mics coming into it, different mics plugged in, and you got your speakers going out from it. And on that mixer board, there's these little dials that you can run up and down. You can, you know, maybe crank the bass up or the treble, or you can adjust the volume up and down, whatever. And I guess I can keep using this marker. I'd like to use that illustration here for a bit. So give me a bit of time. At the top of here, I'm going to write joy in Jesus. And in parentheses, I'm going to write abundant life, because I think they're kind of synonymous. If you're full of joy, you're going to have an abundant life. Jesus said He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, maybe I'll just ask you really quickly, what do you think is the opposite of an abundant life? The opposite of having joy in Jesus and you're overflowing with joy, what do you think is the opposite? You can pop out a word if you can think of one. Misery? Good. Depression? Okay.
Sorrow?
Overwhelmed. Nice. All right, I'm going to go with the word depression. That was the closest one I could think of to be the opposite of this. Full of joy, overflowing with joy, abundant life. Depression seemed like the the most opposite word I could think of. Okay? So I'm gonna go ahead, and this is our mixer board. So it's going to look a little bit more like one in a little bit, because I'm going to start drawing some sliders on here that we can slide up and down. Okay? So here's our little slider button, and here's the track that it runs on. Okay? And this first slider is the slider of fulfillment. So I'm going to be dividing joy here into four different aspects of joy, maybe. Four different things that I think you need to have in place if you're going to have joy. So at the top, I'm going to write fulfillment, and down here, I'm going to write the opposite of that, emptiness. All right. So our first question is, how are we fulfilled in life? What makes us fulfilled versus feeling empty at the end of the day? What makes us fulfilled? My first point is in being able to take this slider and slide it to the top is cultivate meaningful relationships. Cultivate meaningful relationships. Let me read a couple verses. This one's from Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." Okay? There's one man in the world. God's like, this isn't good. This isn't good, only one man. He needs a helper. He needs someone to have relationship with. Okay? Hebrews 10:24-25. "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Okay, picture of good relationships going on. We're exhorting each other, building each other up, assembling together. There's a guy named Harry Argo that talks a lot about digital media and its effect that it has on us. And he says that relationships cultivated on digital media are fake. You know, you're watching that YouTube video, you think you know that person. You know, you might watch this certain YouTube guy all the time. You think you know him, but it's fake. It's not the real guy. He can, you know, show whatever he wants on YouTube. And it's not the real guy. It's fake. Or, you know, you're on social media, you have this friend on Facebook. You know, it's all out there. It's not a real in-person human relationship. He says, spending time with the representation of humans on a screen makes us think we don't need real human relationships. We're trying to fill up when we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, whatever. We're trying to fill up our relational needs with something that's not real. It's fake. And here's a quote from him, grammatically edited. "Are you bored? Don't pick up the device. Go be with somebody. Are you lonely? Don't watch YouTube or television. Don't. Your inner being is desiring human relationship or spiritual relationship. Don't falsely satisfy it." I can attest to this. I'm sure most of you can. A couple more things about that he says about digital media. He says, increase your face-to-face relationships with godly people. And he talks about, you know, smartphones, digital media, whatever. It's great. Those things are so good for information. I use my smartphone like crazy when I was preparing for this sermon. It's so good. I have a Bible app. I can search joy, the word joy, and, you know, look at all the verses about joy, whatever. So good for finding information or coordination, data management, research, broadcasting information. Digital media is such an amazing tool. But what it is not useful for is relationships. If you want to have good relationships, digital media is the terrible tool for that. Don't go to it for your relationship needs. Go to real human relationships if you want to be fulfilled. Not too long ago, my wife went out with some of her friends to the coast, and usually in the evenings, my wife and I are together, we talk, and we have a good time, and we have, you know, good relationship, talking and connection going on. So what do you think I did when she's gone for the evening? She's out at the coast, and guess what? YouTube. Let's see, I like to watch caricature artists. I love drawing caricatures. I'm going to watch some caricature artists, get some more tips on how I can draw better caricatures. And soon it's, you know, late at night, watching videos, whatever. When I went to bed that night, when I went to sleep, take a guess. Do you think I felt more fulfilled that night or more fulfilled the night before or the night before that or the night before that after having a good talk with my wife on the couch? I think you probably all know the answer. We as humans, we crave relationship. And so if we go to this for our relationship, for our relationship needs, we're cheating ourselves. That's not where real fulfillment is found. So be aware of this thing and your computer and whatever else is going to try to fill up your relationship needs with less than real human relationships. I've been thinking, how can I have more joy at work? When I go to work, some days it's kind of like, you know, I get there and it's my job, I do my thing and whatever. And how can I have more joy at work? And one thing I've been trying recently is I go into work and I walk past other people's rooms anyway. So I've been poking my head in and saying, hey, good morning, Mr. So-and-so. Good morning, Miss So-and-so. And the other morning I went into one of the my co-teacher's room. We had this little thing going where we like to say good morning really loud. And I said, good morning. Morning! Really loud. And she like jumped and she was so scared. And anyway, it was fun though. We had a good little chat then. And it was just, there's so much joy in life when you're cultivating relationships with people. And instead of just going in, I'm tired this morning, like, just leave me alone, we'll get through the day. When I just reach out and I'm connecting with people, and I think that's how I'm going to have more joy in my job. Okay. My next point is look for ways to bless others. Just kind of goes along with it, but look for ways to bless others. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Okay? Acts 20:35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. Last night I got a call from a church brother. And so I answered the phone and he said, hey, I was just thinking about it. You're going to be preaching tomorrow. You're probably busy. He probably knows that I'm super duper last minute and I'm like just printing off my notes like when it's time to be on the road to go to church. And so he was like, hey, I'll take over your usher responsibilities in the morning, tomorrow morning for church. And I was like, wow, what a blessing that he thought of that, that he was thinking about me and thought that I was that would be helpful for me. And you know what? I bet I was definitely happy that he had done that. I bet that brother was happy because he had thought to do such a cool thing for me. And guess what? I bet God was happy seeing that little interchange of somebody looking out for someone else and finding a way to bless someone else. So really, it's a win-win-win. Everyone, it's all a win when you're looking to bless others. Some things here. Be an eager giver, not an entitled taker. Be an eager giver, not an entitled taker. If you're entitled and think everything needs to come your way and these are all your rights, that's a great way to go and take down the fulfillment right there. You will feel so much better after complimenting someone than after discussing their faults. Look for ways to bless others. I know it's so much fun to sit around and talk about, yeah, this weird person and what they do, and, you know, yeah, it's kind of hilarious and whatever. What if you would sit down and just talk about, this person is such a blessing, and not only talk about them behind their back, but you look for those things. I see that, you know, so-and-so, oh, they're just like really serving and really stepping up to do something. Oh, go tell them about that. Encourage them in that. Say, I really appreciate what you're doing. And you're going to feel more fulfilled yourself if you're looking for ways to bless others. Send someone an encouraging text. Give your wife a back rub. Do a small act of kindness for someone near you. Find out what people love and give them that. Just find ways to bless others. And your fulfillment is going to go through the roof. All right, I'm going to draw another slider up there. So we talked about fulfillment. Next one is going to be... I think I got messed up with my notes here. Peace. All right, we'll draw a little slider here. Okay, any words that you can think of for the opposite of peace? Holler them out. Say it again. Okay. What else?
Turmoil.
Chaos. Okay. Anxiety.
Stress.
These are all really good. These are ones that I was like going through too and trying to think which one to put at the bottom. Here's my paper. All right, I did choose anxiety. And there's many that could go there. But to have joy, you're going to need to feel fulfilled, and you're going to have peace. If you don't have peace in your life, you're probably not going to be overflowing with joy, right? So I have a list of things. I'm not going to spend much time on these interpersonal things here, but I'm just going to mention them because I think they're really important things to have peace in your life. Learn to let things go that aren't important and don't try to unnecessarily control people. If you feel like you always have to be controlling everyone, this happened, and so you know, just can't let it go and forget about it, that's a great way to not have peace in your life. Learn to lay down your opinions and submit to others. If you want to have peace in relationship, don't feel like you always have to get your way. Learn to just be humble. Hey, it's not a big deal. Submit to others. Take responsibility for your own choices and don't blame others. If we get started on the blame game, blaming others, that's a great way for us to lose our peace. Okay, this is more in relationship to God now. Keep a clear conscience. Pretty obvious one, right? If you want to have peace, keep a clear conscience. Don't let things bug you or get between you and God. Another important thing for peace is just remember that God is in control and trust Him. And this is definitely one of the secrets for being able to have peace even in hard times. If God is in control, He's a good God, what do you have to worry about? It's going to end out right somehow. Just trust in God. Pray about everything. Refuse to worry. Refuse to worry. Just pray about it instead. And the one I want to elaborate on here is fill your mind with good things. If you want to have peace in your life, Fill your mind with good things. Listen to these verses from Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the thought's not over. Let's keep going. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. So, what are we filling our minds with? If we want to be at peace, what are you filling your mind with? Are we filling it with conspiracy theories? The latest gross crimes committed in our state? What island Donald Trump might want to take over next? You know, if you're filling your mind with those things, that sounds like a great way to get worried about what's going to happen in this world. You know, great way to take that slider and go down to anxiety and definitely not having peace in your life. So instead of thinking on those things, why not think about, well, the most obvious one, spend a lot of time in God's Word. Just meditate on His Word. Meditate on God's Word. Spend time reading or researching what God is doing in the world. A bunch of us were at CAM Open House the other day, and just being able to see, oh, like God is at work in all these countries, and we can get excited about the kingdom and how we can get involved in that. How can we reach out to our neighbors? You know, fill your mind with the things of God, with positive things. And instead of focusing, we get to choose what we focus on, what we meditate on. And we get to choose whether we're going to take that and have peace, or if we're going to focus on negative things, get our eyes off of God, and have anxiety. So just remember this. You get to decide what you feed on. You feed on the news, everything bad going on in the world, you're going to be anxious. If you feed on God, you'll have peace. All right, now I have way too many papers, and I need to figure out where I am. Okay, I'm going to draw another slider up here. This one is going to be contentment. Any opposites for contentment, holler them out. This was a hard one for me, too.
Jealousy.
Okay, good.
Dissatisfied.
Okay.
Loss.
Okay, That's good. I think I remember which one I settled on for that. Oh, I changed it last minute, I think. I put misery, so I don't know. There's lots of different things. That was a hard one. What's the opposite of contentment other than just discontentment, right? But that seemed kind of lame. So, I have a couple points on how we can be more content. My first one is rejoice in your salvation. In other words, don't forget what God has done for you. Think every now and then about what your life was like before you had Jesus in your life. Don't forget that. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you are grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Love that phrase. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So think about the blessings you have in Jesus. Think about your salvation, what you were like before Christ, and what you have now. Don't lose sight of that. Rejoice in your salvation. Here's the second one. And this one, when I was, you know, interviewing people or asking them, you know, what's the key to joy in your life? This seemed to be the answer that came up the most. It's simply be thankful. Or just your perspective on. You can focus on what you have, or you can focus on what you don't have. And I wrote down, thank God for what you have. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here's how God thinks about the opposite of being thankful, which would be complaining, right? Listen to these verses from Numbers 14. This doesn't sound good. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me will fall in the wilderness, and all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. So, if you think back to the children of Israel, they did a lot of complaining on the way from Egypt to the Promised Land. And here God is finally saying they didn't believe the spies about the good report of the land, and they were complaining and murmuring, and God says, okay, I'm just going to destroy you all in the wilderness, and none of you are going to enter the Promised Land. Okay? That's what God thinks about complaining. He hates it. Hates complaining. At the Cam West open house the other day, we learned a little bit about the Cubans. Cuba is not far off the tip of Florida. But Cuban Christians and Cubans in general are facing economic distress and hunger. If I remember right, said a pastor's salary is like $10 to $12 a month or something like that. Imagine trying to live and feed your family on $12 a month. And yet, some of the pastors, some of the people on those pictures, those Cuban pastors, their faces were radiant with joy. They were excited about what God was doing. They had joy, even though they're maybe getting $12 a month to live on. So, obviously, joy isn't just dependent on how much stuff you have. Or obviously, even if you have very little, you can choose to be thankful for what you do have. Pete, glad to see you here today. I was talking to Pete Lewis a little bit, and he was saying, we have so much. If you think about those Cubans, think about how much we have in comparison to that Cuban pastor getting 12 bucks a month, his family is starving, and whatever. Think about what we have here in America. Why would we ever, ever, ever complain? Like, it's so dumb if you stop and think about it. Said, perspective makes a big difference. Here in Oregon, you guys like snow, right? Because we hardly ever get it. But some places can be a pain sometimes. If you get a bunch of snow, you can choose to complain because the roads are slippery. Or you can go outside and have fun building a snowman. You know, it's in your perspective. There's always something that you could complain about. But there's always things you could be joyful about and be thankful for. So why would you focus on why would you complain? Why wouldn't you just focus on what you have and what you can be thankful for? I talked to Edith Ketchum. She lost her husband recently, a little over a year ago maybe, or 2 years ago. And she's walking around with her face radiating joy. And she says, God has blessed me so much. Have that attitude. Have that attitude. God has blessed me so much. And don't just think of this of the physical blessings. Think of all the spiritual blessings like I was talking about before. We have access to God's word here. We have freedom from sin through Jesus. We have the hope of eternal life. We have fellowship with these wonderful believers. Think about all the things that we have. talked to LaVon Krupp, another woman who seems very joyful. And she said, enjoy what God sends. Something like that. Just take joy in what God gives you. In other words, don't be looking for what you don't have or complaining about what you don't have. Just be thankful for what you do have. Yeah, there are always going to be things to complain about. And if you're looking for those, they're always going to be there. But the empowering thing is that we get to choose whether we complain about those things or whether we look at what we do have and be thankful for those. And that's exactly what is going to take this thing and go, or up or down, right on there. If you want to be content, if you want to have joy, focus on the blessings God has given you. This can be very real to me when I'm grading tests. I'm a school teacher, and you know the math tests come in. And as a school teacher, you kind of have to focus on, you kind of have to think, oh, this, you know, the people that are getting bad grades and how can we help them. But sometimes I can get so focused on those, like, Johnny, like, I've told you 100 times that this is not how you do it, whatever. I've been working with Johnny, working with him, and he still got it wrong in the test. And like, if he just pay attention in class and whatever, and I'm all focused on, I'm totally losing my peace or my, I don't know, one of those. And I'm focusing on what is going wrong here. But I've been thinking, you know what? A lot of people did really good on the test. There's some 100% there. There's Joey, who was getting 80s, and now he's at a 95. Like, he's really been applying himself and doing well in math. Like, there's good things. Like, I can choose if I'm going to sit there and just let that bad grade eat me to pieces or if I'm going to focus on what is going well. It's my choice what I'm going to focus on. All right. So, complain. It's your choice. Do you want to complain and end up down here in misery? Or do you want to be thankful and end up here in contentment? It's up to you. All right, there's one more aspect I'm not going to spend a lot of time with. But when I was just thinking about, you know, what do we need to have joy? And, we need to be fulfilled in life. We need to have peace. We need to be content if we're going to have joy. And there's one more thing I thought of, and that is hope. Any antonyms for hope? Holler them out if you can think of any.
Hopelessness.
Despair. Despair. I think that's the one I was thinking of. Hope or despair. If you think about all those, a lot of those an unbeliever could have, right? You know, someone could choose to be thankful and probably be content. Someone could focus or decide to serve others and focus on relationship, meaningful relationships. And they could have some of these. But as Christians, we have something more than all that. We have hope. We have a hope for the future. Listen to some of these verses. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the ultimate example of someone who did something because he wanted to have joy. I don't think it's a bad motivation to do something because it's going to make us more joyful. Jesus here, he was willing to endure the cross and everything for the joy that was set before him. Now he's at the right hand. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everything is going to be subject to him. But he was willing to suffer for that joy that was set before. I think this is another key to having joy even in suffering, is don't focus on what's happening right now. Focus on the hope in the future that you have because Jesus is in you. From Luke 6:20, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. What day? The day when you're being persecuted. Right? It says, leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. I think I want to preach a sermon sometime about rewards. It's a big theme in the Bible. God is saying he's going to reward us. There's rewards for faithfully following him. There's rewards for suffering for his namesake. Focus on those rewards. Think of your reward in heaven when you're going through a hard time, and even though you're going through the hard time, you're focusing on God, you're still full of joy, and think about your reward in heaven. Don't focus on what's happening right now. Look ahead in hope to your reward. So in conclusion, I'm just going to recap what some of my practical tips are for having more joy in your life. Cultivate meaningful relationships. Look for ways to bless others. Fill your mind with good things. Rejoice in your salvation. Thank God for what you have. And look forward to your reward. My prayer is that God would fill you with joy as you seek him and surrender to him and serve him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for all the many blessings we have. Thank you for the many physical blessings we have here. Thank you that we're getting more than $12 a month to live on. Thank you that for all the spiritual blessings we have, for freedom from sin and the hope of eternal life in Jesus. Thank you that we can be filled with Jesus, with the Spirit of God, and have joy in our lives. And Lord, today I just pray for joy in everyone's heart that is in this room, Lord. Wherever they are with you, whether they don't know you, maybe they haven't surrendered their life to you, maybe they are a Christian, but they're at kind of a dry spot in their life and aren't experiencing much joy. Lord, I pray for joy in everyone's heart here this morning, that we would all be filled with your Spirit, surrender to you, be filled with your Spirit, and experience the joy of the Lord in our lives. And as we do that, we would overflow in praise to you and love for others and be a blessing to those around us. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.